Well, praise the Lord. It's wonderful to be in His house today. Thank you for attending church on Sunday. Good pattern for those that are Christians and call themselves followers and disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Eye tests. I'm sure most of us in this room, in this place today, have taken an eye test, an eye exam. As children, and periodically throughout the formative years, as adults, and as we age, we book in for a time of testing. And in some cases, a time of testing is required. It's not optional unless we choose to forfeit position or privilege. And so we appear before the optometrist. The exam begins. And then the findings. 2015, 2020, 2030, and so on. And familiar terminology. Farsighted. Nearsighted. Those two terms, farsighted and nearsighted, and for our purposes today, farsighted and short-sighted. Sight, sighted and sightedness. The quality of sight, sightedness the Lord desires for us is the perfect balance of short-sightedness and far-sightedness. This is the Christian's supernatural quality of sight, both equally as strong, both in effect, that they aid each other, that they complement each other, that they affect each other, both clean and clear. For in this, the Christian will see clearly. The Christian will see in perfect order. The Christian will pass the eye exam. The Christian will know a clear, clean bill of sight. The master optometrist cannot be fooled. A memorized chart is not enough. Committed to memory, but what about committed to action? The focus, our focus, is vision. You see, the Bible warns about being farsighted and not short-sighted. And the Bible warns about being short-sighted and not farsighted. Proverbs 14, verse 18, going to read from the Amplified. The naive are unsophisticated and easy to exploit and inherit foolishness. But the sensible are thoughtful and farsighted and are crowned with knowledge. Proverbs 21, verse 20, there is precious treasure and oil in the house of the wise who prepare for the future. But a short-sighted and foolish man swallows it up and wastes it. Proverbs 22:3, a prudent and far-sighted person sees the evil of sin and hides himself from it. But the naive continue on and are punished by suffering the consequences of sin. Matthew 7, 24, so everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man, a far-sighted, practical, and sensible man who built his house on the rock. The Christian is to be far-sighted and nearsighted. Short-sighted. and farsighted. We read Luke 6, beginning at verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not practice what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and listens to my words and obeys them, I will show you who he is like. He is like a far-sighted, practical, and sensible man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and yet could not shake it because it had been securely built and founded on the rock. But the one who has merely heard and has not practiced what I say is like a foolish man who built a house on the ground without any foundation. And the torrent burst against it and immediately collapsed. It immediately collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. Christian vision. Different than that of the world and worldlings. Divine, on a different level, on a higher level, supernaturally sophisticated. We need to be farsighted, and we need to be short-sighted. We need to be short-sighted, and we need to be far-sighted. Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, thoughtless, silly, and careless. And 5 were wise, far-sighted, practical, and sensible. For when the foolish took their lamps, they did not take any extra oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delayed, they all began to nod off and they fell asleep. But at midnight, there was a shout. Look, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins got up and put their own lamps in order, trimmed the wicks and added oil and lit them. But the foolish virgins said to the wise, give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out. But the wise replied, no. Otherwise there will not be enough for us and for you. Not enough for us and for you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy oil for yourselves. But while they were going away to buy oil, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut and locked. Later, the others also came and said, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. But he replied, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, I do not know you. We have no relationship. Therefore, be on the alert, be prepared and ready, for you do not know the day nor the hour when the Son of Man will come. You see, in this case, the far-sighted are short-sighted. They are diligent in the now. They understand that the now speaks to the future. It prepares for the future. It provides for the future. Not thoughtless, silly, and careless in the now. Remember Proverbs 21:20, there is precious treasure and oil in the house of the wise who prepare for the future. But a short-sighted and foolish man swallows it up and wastes it. 10 individuals. 10 eye tests. 10 eye exams. And the findings of the master optometrist. According to the text, five foolish, five wise, five short-sighted in the wrong way, five far-sighted because of short-sighted diligence and duty. Church, the faith of the short-sighted lacks action, work, and right works. Those that are short-sighted in wrong manner. The faith of the short-sighted in wrong manner, it lacks action, work, and right works. Listen to James chapter 2, beginning of verse 14. Now what use is it, my brothers, for a man to say that he has faith if his actions do not correspond with it? Could that sort of faith save anyone's soul? If a fellow man or woman has no clothes to wear and nothing to eat, and one of you say, good luck to you, I hope you'll keep warm and find enough to eat, and yet give them nothing to meet their physical needs, what on earth is the good of that? Yet that is exactly what a bare faith without a corresponding life is like. Useless and dead. If we only have faith, a man could easily challenge us by saying, you say that you have faith, and I merely have good actions. Well, all you can do is show me a faith without corresponding actions, but I can show you by my actions that I have faith as well. To the man who thinks that faith by itself is enough, I feel inclined to say, so you believe that there is one God? That's fine. So do all the devils in hell. And shudder in terror. For my dear short-sighted man, can't you see far enough to realize that faith without the right actions is dead and useless? Think of Abraham, our ancestor. Wasn't it his action which really justified him in God's sight when his faith led him to offer his son Isaac on the altar? Can't you see that his faith and his actions were, so to speak, partners? That his faith was implemented by his deed? That is what the scripture means when it says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness and he was called the friend of God. Dear short-sighted man, can't you see far enough to realize that faith without the right actions is dead and useless? His faith led him to. The Christian with the quality of sight and sightedness that the Lord desires realizes that faith without the right actions is dead and useless. And so, their faith and actions partner together. Faith implemented by deed. And people of God, we can see so clearly according to the text that this is what it means to believe God. And according to God, this is righteousness, the sight and sightedness of the friends of God. 2 Peter 1, beginning at verse 1, reading from the J.B. Phillips New Testament. Simon Peter, a servant and messenger of Jesus Christ, sends this letter to those who have been given a faith as valuable as yours in the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. May you know more and more of grace and peace as your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord grows deeper. He has by his own action given us everything that is necessary for living the truly good life in allowing us to know the one who has called us to him through his own glorious goodness. It is through him that God's greatest and most precious promises have become available to us, man. Making it possible, it's possible, for you to escape essential nature. For this very reason, you must do your utmost from your side and see that your faith carries with it real goodness of life. Your goodness must be accompanied by knowledge, your knowledge by self-control, your self-control by the ability to endure. Your endurance, too, must always be accompanied by devotion to God. That, in turn, must have in it the quality of brotherliness, and your brotherliness must lead on to Christian love. If you have these qualities existing and growing in you, then it means that knowing our Lord Jesus Christ has not made your lives either complacent or unproductive. The man whose life fails to exhibit these qualities is short-sighted. He can no longer see the reason why he was cleansed from his former state. Listen, God has done his part. See that you do yours. The text is so clear. It's so very clear. Faith carrying with it the real goodness of life, the godness of life, growing qualities in the life of the believer. And that line, what a line. If you have these qualities existing and growing in you, then it means that knowing our Lord Jesus Christ has not made your lives either complacent or unproductive. So obviously, it's possible. The far-sighted in right manner are not complacent or unproductive. And because they are not, they are rightly and righteously short-sighted. Well, let's carry on with the testing, the exam. The far-sighted are short-sightedly faithful in what is least. Luke 16:10, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Matthew 25, beginning of verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Beautiful. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, you know, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So true that the short-sightedly faithful are far-sighted. This quality and character of Christian sight well, it's been proven. You know, sometimes we are so far-sighted that we are so short-sighted. Just let it sink in. Zechariah 4:10, "For who has despised the day of small beginnings?" New Century Version. "The people should not think that small beginnings are unimportant." So short-sighted. And in the wrong way. Song of Solomon 2:15, "Catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." Can't you see it? There they are, gazing out into the future. So far-sighted that the little foxes are having their way with the vines, the tender grapes. These need to pull back and focus on what is now. The preparation for the future, and that the preparation for the future might exist. Rightly short-sighted that the vineyard know a glorious future. The realm of distant sight. The Wycliffe Bible reads, "Catch ye little foxes to us that destroy the vineries, for our vinery hath flowered." So far-sighted, too far-sighted in the wrong way, and the vines with their tender grapes are being spoiled. One fox, two fox, three fox, four. The number's increasing. Yes, faithful in little, and faithful in catching the little. Catch each little fox before there are too many running in the vineyard and running the vineyard for you to catch. Oh, fathers and mothers, it's your house. The children came to live with you. That's like a new concept. Yeah, catch each little fox before there are too many running in the vineyard, running in the house, and running the house. So far-sighted. So short-sighted. Exodus 23, beginning at verse 1, "You shall not give a false report." We're just going to let the Spirit speak today. "You shall not join hands with the wicked to be a malicious witness promoting wrong and violence. You shall not follow a crowd to do something evil, nor shall you testify at a trial or in a dispute so as to side with the crowd in order to pervert justice. Nor shall you favor or be partial to a poor man in his dispute simply because he is poor. If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey wandering off, you must bring it back to him. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying helpless under its load, you shall not leave the man to deal with it alone. You must help him release the animal from its burden. You shall not pervert, bend the justice due to the poor in his dispute. Keep far away from a false charge or action, and do not condemn to death the innocent or the righteous, for I will not justify and acquit the guilty. You shall not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds the clear-sighted and subverts the testimony and the cause of the righteous. You shall not oppress a stranger, for you know the soul, the feelings, thoughts, and concerns of a stranger, for you were strangers in Egypt. All really good wisdom. But that line, you shall not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds the clear-sighted and subverts the testimony and the cause of the righteous. Reading from the Message paraphrase, don't take bribes. Period. Bribes blind perfectly good eyes and twist the speech of good people. The KJV, and thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous. Lord, please speak to us today. Ezekiel 22:12, if in you they take bribes to shed blood, you take usury and increase. You have made a profit from your neighbors by extortion and have forgotten me, says the Lord God. What we see here is the clear-sighted, blind, no longer rightly and righteously short-sighted, no longer rightly and righteously far-sighted. We'll just continue to let the text speak. Isaiah 33:15-16. He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of the oppressions, who gestures with his hands, refusing bribes, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed and shuts his eyes from seeing evil, he will dwell on high. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. Bread will be given him. His water will be sure. Proverbs 17:23, a wicked man accepts a bribe behind the back to pervert the ways of justice. What do we read in Psalm 15? Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle or dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. 1 Samuel 8:1-3. Now it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Just skip down, it says, but his sons did not walk in his ways, and they turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice. Deuteronomy 27:25. Cursed is the one who takes a bribe to slay an innocent person, and all the people shall say, amen. Deuteronomy 16:19. You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality, that is, regard faces, nor take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists, perverts the words of the righteous. Church, the right-sighted do not accept that which would pervert judgment and justice. They take heed according to the word, knowing that these so-called gifts, however this speaks today, handouts, bribes, however it speaks, they mess with clear-sightedness, blind perfectly good eyes, and twist speech, perverteth words. Well, we are aware My, are we aware of the act, the wrongfully short-sighted are drawn to and driven to, that which they commit. The words of Louis Giglio, the world has been tragic since the day Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. From that moment, murder, mayhem, and war entered the scene, and we are still suffering the consequences of a man-driven, self-serving, short-sighted environment. Welcome to the planet. Really, I just want to encourage us all here today to be rightly and righteously short-sighted. For in this, we not only take care of our present and prepare for our future, but so too for the present and future of others. Rightly and righteously short-sighted. For in this, we not only take care of our present and prepare for our future, but so too for the present and future of others. I share these words with you today. I want to challenge you by faith to receive a vision for yourself. Whether you are a teenager, a parent, a student, a housewife, or a young person launching a career, you can communicate your faith to someone. You can inspire somebody, a friend, a mom or dad, son, daughter, fellow believer, to love, pray, forgive, repent, serve, and do something beautiful and noble. Please allow your spirit to hear what God is saying, and that God is seeking a man or a woman whose heart will beat with the vision that without faith it is impossible to produce a victorious people. Faith is not only taught, it is caught. The truth and spiritual reality is that as a dad, my children can walk in the footsteps I will leave for them. Please allow me to illustrate this with a simple tale from my childhood growing up in the low-income housing projects in Montreal. It was a cold winter night. As a father walked to the local bar yet again, it was Friday night, and he had just cashed his paycheck. The money burned in his pocket. And as he did every single week, he was about to drink it away. In this insane and incomprehensible moment, everything else vanished. He was unable to think of the money he would need to feed his children and pay the rent and heating bills. The promises he made to his wife over and over disappeared each time, choked by the blinding habit and the all-encompassing thirst to forget that which both disgusted and enslaved him. This man hated himself, but the voices inside always won. It's my business. I'm not hurting anybody. It's my choice. It's only a few drinks. Suddenly, he heard a rustling sound in the silence of the cold night. The sound of soft steps in the snow. He turned around, and what he saw hit him like an iron fist in the gut, taking his breath away. His son was following him and making his best effort, giving it his all, trying to put his little feet step by step in the imprints his daddy had left in the snow. He was walking in his dad's footsteps. Dear reader, dear listener, each one of us is leading somebody somewhere. Some boys and girls are learning to lie, blame others, cheat, criticize, be arrogant, and always look for shortcuts. But our sons and daughters can also watch us and learn to love, pray, work, worship, serve, forgive, and believe. They can learn from us to speak the truth, respect people, judge people on the content of their character rather than the color of their skin, and to be honest, respectful to their elders, and a friend of the poor. You say, that's just an extreme example. Yeah, it's an extreme example. And yes, there are seemingly less extreme cases of leading astray that are just as tragic and in some cases damning. God help us. God help us to be rightly and righteously short-sighted. For in this we not only take care of our present and prepare for our future, but so too for the present and future of others. This is your heart, Lord. This is your desire. A child exits the exterior door of the eye doctor's office. Child gets into the vehicle with mom or dad. So, what do the optometrists say? You know, there are those that know the state of their sight and sightedness, and yet they will not admit it. They claim that all is well and that they did just fine on the test. But you know, it'll show. The inability to see correctly and clearly always ends up revealing itself. A person is noticing something off with their sight. Book an appointment, just ignore the signs. The truth is that the Lord sees all and all things. He does not need us to book an appointment and set our eyes on some apparatus. He is viewing life and living. He knows all the details. He knows the nature of our farsighted and short-sightedness. Ah, yes, the Christian. The Christian that wants to see right and in right manner prays a certain prayer. Psalm 139, 23, and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. The message reads, investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong. Then guide me on the road to eternal life. You know, I wonder. We step into the master optometrist's office and we're like, Lord, Lord Jesus, let's do this. And so the test begins. What do you see? You tell him, he just writes it down. What do you see now? You tell him, he just writes it down. Deals with that which is in the distance. It just starts pulling it back. Deals with that, which is in the now. Test is over. You can relax. Just wipe the sweat, you know. Jesus. How'd I do, Lord? Well, son. Well, daughter. Not bad. But let me tell you what you got to work on. I mean, if that was the case, and that's real, would we then say, I don't think you know what you're talking about. Did you calibrate your machine today? I mean, let's do it again. Okay, let's do it again. Same test. He's not trying to mess with you. He's not trying to fool you. Same test. Test ends. How'd I do, Lord? Same result. Can we take it again? Sure, son. Same result. But how many are fighting with the findings? You think about it today. How many are fighting with the findings? God, I see just fine. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm not short-sighted in the wrong way. I'm not far-sighted in the wrong way. I see just fine, Jesus. All right. You know, there was a church in the book of Revelation. They didn't see right. They didn't see right. Recall last week's material. Their condition, well, you know, they thought they were just fine. But they were not just fine. So the master optometrist got in contact with them and gave them, that is, wrote them, a prescription. Revelation 3, beginning at verse 14, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. That's a weighty way to start. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous, eager, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He didn't say, he who has an eye, let him see. He who has an ear, let him hear. You know, if we are here today and we are suffering from living with the wrong type of farsightedness or short-sightedness, this prescription, this remedy is the answer. Not a set of lenses. Not in this case, but I solve that we might see. See the now. see the reality, the ramifications, and perhaps a prophetic glimpse of what will be if we don't have our short-sightedness healed now. The reality and the surveying of the current state in our vineyard. The Lord has the salve we need. It's from Him. It's from Him that we must purchase it. Can have the worship ministry return today. An anointing for blind eyes. Eyes blind to their state. No, no, not everybody in this room in the natural needs help to see. But there are those that have sat just trying to make it out. And they're telling the optometrist, I'm fine, I can see just fine. And then the optometrist says, just put your eyes on the apparatus. How can you see now? Everything's clear. And then you know. How blind you were. How unable to see you really were. Even though you walked into that office, I'm just going to pass this test with flying colors, walk out of here. I'm not spending any money on anything. Well, the Lord's saying, I got something for you. A counsel. Because He won't make you. He won't force you. He's not going to shove the salve into your hand. He's not going to put it on your eyes for you. He's saying, I counsel you. I counsel you to buy something from me. I can help you. We can fix this. I counsel you to buy. I sell. And look what it says. It says, anoint your eyes. Anoint your eyes. You gotta put it on. You gotta apply it. An anointing for blind eyes, blind to their state. Maybe you're saying, you know what? Feels like rebuke. Feels like chastening. And my reply would be this, good. Because that means you feel the love of the Lord. Because the Bible says, for as many as He loves, He rebukes and chastens. If God didn't love you, He wouldn't rebuke or chasten ever. If your father didn't love you, He wouldn't rebuke or chasten ever. If your mother didn't care about you, they would never rebuke or chasten. They'd let you do whatever you want. Just go on. Act like a fool. Be a fool. Live a fool's life. What kind of a father would that be? What kind of a mother would that be? Wow, as many as He loves, He rebukes and chastens. I'm so thankful for the times that the Lord rebuked me and chastened me. May not have felt like love at the time, but you know it was love. You know when you were younger and your father or your mother pulled out the rod and gave you a spanking? I mean, that's probably a foreign concept today too, but, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child. It used to get whooped, and it didn't feel like love at the time, but your parent cared enough to rebuke and chasten, that you didn't turn out to be a loser, a fool. Yeah, you can go tell the world, in my house we spanked our kids. haven't passed the eye test, the eye exam? Listen, it's time to be zealous. It's time to repent. The Lord stands at the door and knocks. Will you hear his voice and open the door? If you will, he will come in to you and dine with you, and you with him. Now, sometimes we get something in our eye and we need to go to the mirror, right? You're like, I got something in my eye. But some people, they don't even know there's something in their eye, even though it's the size of a plank. You know what I'm talking about? We got to end here. But they're like, so-and-so, there's a speck in their eye. Man, God's really got to deal with them. They should, you know, go stand in front of the mirror. They should get this thing figured out. And the person's like, they can hardly even stand and talk to you because of that old plank. What does the Lord say? He says, go deal with the plank in your own eye. Before you can deal with the speck, you better deal with the plank. How are you going to see clearly? You know, I don't want to lay it on hard for mothers and fathers, but you got to feel the weight and the responsibility. Sometimes we're trying to take the speck out of our son or daughter's eye, and they're looking at us going, are you nuts? That plank. I don't even know how you walk around in the house. How do you turn? How do you get into God's house? Mom, Dad, everybody can see it. You know, children are good for us. How many have been refined by your children? You've been maybe rebuked and chastened. It's the Lord working through the child. Now, that's not liberty for every child in the house today to go and rebuke and chasten their parents, okay? But according to the Word, and let the Spirit of God lead you. Let's stand today. If you'd like prayer for any reason, please, the altar's open. I don't know about you, but even in those moments where I feel like everything's been dealt with and I feel like I can see clearly, you know, I'm rightly short-sighted, rightly far-sighted, never in between, I still just say, Lord, help me. Is there something I'm missing? Is there something I can't see? Is there something that's just beyond me, escaping me? Let's ask the Lord, Lord, God, I need some of that salve today. I need to anoint my eyes. Help me see. Lord Jesus. Jesus. Well, let there be light.